he sends his son? And they said, this son, he's the heir. So let's kill him. And the inheritance will be ours. Because of their failure to honor the authority that the servants and the son represented, the wicked servants were put to death when the master returned. We don't have a natural tendency, I don't think, to honor God or others like we should. It's just not natural for us to do that. We learn honor by fearing the Lord. Now, giving honor does not depend on the worthiness of the recipient. Rather, it is a voluntary decision to unconditionally place value upon a person because of who he is or whom he represents. There's no question that our parents were given to us by God. Not only were they created by God, but they were the ones that God chose to bring you into this world. And for no other reason, we need to honor them because they have given us life. As one mom said to her kid, I brought you into the world and I could take you out. But they are entrusted with the responsibility of raising children. It's a heavy responsibility in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, sometimes it's hard to honor parents because they make decisions that to us seem illogical. So when that happens, we need to ask ourselves, what is God trying to do in my life? Is there something that he's trying to change? Is there something that he's trying to tell me? Something that I need to work through in my life? Okay, the seventh thing to do, and I think this was mentioned actually, is learn how to make wise appeals. If we want to honor, or if we want to keep this command, honor and obeying our parents, we might have to learn how to appeal to them in the right way, to make wise appeals. Here's an example. A mother glanced out her front window and saw some people walking toward the front door. She did not have time to talk with them right then, so she told her daughter to tell them she was not at home. How could this daughter honor her mother without disobeying God's word, which instructs us not to lie? Now, honoring parents does not mean that we are to obey a request to do something that is contrary to the higher law of God. We already mentioned that. So she's in a dilemma, isn't she? She wants to honor her mom, and yet she doesn't want to dishonor God's word by telling a lie. Tough situation. Sticky situation. I think we can learn from Daniel. Daniel and the other young men of Judah had been taken captive to Babylon. You know the story. They're to receive special training in the service of the king. Somebody mentioned this. They were given meat to eat, Bill, and they were given wine to drink, and they knew that they could not partake of these things because it was contrary to God's law. So you remember what they did? They came up with this creative alternative. Daniel made an appeal to the king, to the authority, rather, and received approval for his request. Give us 10 days. Let us follow our diet. And at the end of 10 days, then you can judge us and you can make your decision. So, first of all, here's how you do it. Here's how you make a wise appeal. Number one, develop a good rapport before making an appeal. Make sure you have a good relationship before you even begin to make an appeal. It says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So he had a good rapport. He was respected, and he showed respect to this prince of the eunuchs, this authority over him. We have to trust that God would bring us to a place of favor in the eyes of those that we need to appeal to, and realize that God is the one who can change their hearts. God can change their hearts. We have to give him time. We do what we have to do in allowing God to work on that authority's heart. We also have to make sure that we've demonstrated the right attitudes and behavior before a conflict arises. Now, if the daughter in this story had been characterized by honoring her parents, honoring her mother, okay, If she was known to do that, it's likely that her mother would have been receptive to an appeal that she could have given her. Second thing on how to make an appeal is to explain convictions without condemning. Daniel did not condemn those who ate and drank of the king's provisions. He simply explained his convictions. If the daughter had said to the mother, "You are wrong for asking me to lie," what do you think that, how do you think that mother would have responded? Probably not too well, right? She probably would have reacted. However, if the daughter had respectfully said, "You know, I want to honor you, but I cannot, I've made this commitment to always tell the truth," the mother probably would have been receptive to this girl's conviction. Third thing, understand the authority's goals and design a creative solution. The main purpose in having Daniel with this prince of the eunuchs was for the purpose of having him be a healthy young man and of service to the king. That was the goal. The goal was not to get him to eat these certain things. The goal was that he would have a healthy appearance and that he would have the ability to serve the king. The mother's goal was what? What was the mother's goal here? Avoid the people. Not to have, right, not to have uninvited guests. So the daughter could have created some kind of alternative, right? And just maybe simply said that her mother was unavailable at that moment. Could they come back at a later time? Okay. Work out some creative solution. Number four is respect the position of authority. Daniel said, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants." The daughter should assure her mother that she had a desire to obey her in all things, but to acknowledge that she had a responsibility to obey God as the highest authority. So those are some of the things that she could have said that she could have done. She could have honored her mom and still honored God's law. Regardless of the situation or circumstances that we encounter, we can, however, always, always demonstrate honor to our parents. Even though we might not be able to obey them in all things, we still need to honor them, and they need to know that we honor them. Do you have any questions, comments, thoughts about this, Bob? Yes. Yes. Joan? Jeremiah 35:6-10. Is actually, you know, basically that whole chapter of Jeremiah 35. Glenn?
So another way of honoring the parents would be actually we could hear Paul rules. Paula, my dad's name was Paul, and Joan's mother's name was Rose.
Okay.
So we put that together, Paul rules, that's a good way of honoring the parents.
Yeah. That's a good idea. We were having fun when we found out Josiah and Sarah were pregnant, although it didn't last very long, but we were coming up with names to try to honor both sets of parents. So it was either going to be Doty if it was a girl or Stick if it was a boy. not seriously, but we were just putting the names together, and that's what it came out to be, you know. But no, that's right. You can honor. That's a good way to honor the memory of someone too.
Tonight we were talking about I struggle a lot with all this because of the family I was raised in. What it means to multiple marriages. No faith is off the card to come up with that honor, you know, in your heart. Like, even though you love them, you're wondering what you're going to honor. But another thing I've always lived by is, you know, if I let everything they did with my growing up poison, I'm going to carry that on. And that's what I'm thinking about dying with death. You know, I don't think we have to think it means you're going to just, like, get stabbed and be bleeding. I mean, you also can die that death spiritually by not somehow trying to honor your parents, no matter how difficult.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a spiritual. Well, yeah. Two things I think help. Number one, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you invest in your parents, even though you don't feel like honoring, but you start investing, your heart will follow. And you'll find yourself wanting to honor them. So I think that helps. Number two, the other thing that is a good motivation is our children watch us. How we treat our parents is probably how they're going to treat us. So that's a good thing to keep in mind.
But it's very difficult when your parents don't want to leave us. And that's a whole other, you know, you have to have parents that want to be parents that want to nurture and raise their children. You know, you can invest and pray, and mm-hmm. give up on that, but, you know, your children, you know, also seeing their parents hurt and not invest in that whole other place.
It's hard. Rejection is hard. Rejection is probably one of the greatest fears that any person has, is that fear of rejection. So, yeah, when you constantly are trying to honor somebody and they reject you, it's tough. But I think the Lord takes that into account. Right. Right. They see your effort. That doesn't go by unnoticed. You do. Right. Yeah.
I had one kid that took some candy from the original girl. Dad gave him a good whipping. Well, it didn't do any good. He left the conference bill, and I was sitting in the car, and he walked out with a bottle of pop under his coat. I said, you take that back. Take it right back.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. Camelia, and then Bill.
I was just going to say, I didn't grow up growing up in the same stuff. And at some point in my adult life, I decided, you know what? I'm going to love this parent. You know, they rejected me, or I have time today, or whatever. And I remember a pastor once said to me, not just to the congregation, that you need to act. You can't wait for your feelings to show up to do the right thing. And I took that to heart, and so I really loved on this parent. And I just kept loving, and I just said in my heart, God said, love the way they are, and just accept whatever they do, even if it's nothing. And it took years, but it's totally, the whole relationship is totally, and it's, there's still hurt at times, but I just, you know, sometimes someone says to me, why did you do I think it's a way to honor.
Mm-hmm.
And love, no matter how much or how little you get. It's a choice.
Well, you don't have that death of tears. Like I talked about, you know, I wonder for what you can have that little attempt to kill me. You know, you're going to be nice to me. So I can be. But it is hard. It's harder. When I became a mother, it became harder. Giving, because you go there and like, why is grandma drinking beer all the time? You know, I've got this little boy that's got, you know, that has to be influenced. But at the same time, I believe that the Lord puts people in our lives, if we're open to it, to be those people, like my grandparents or people that have any influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I think the Lord gives everyone someone, you know, if you're open to it, to be that.
Sure.
Kind of influence them.
Right. Right.
Well,
and there again, you've got to use some common sense and the wisdom of Solomon, you know, to, when you've got grandparents, grandparents have a big influence on children. You cannot allow the grandparents to influence them in the wrong way. You can still honor them, but you can't let that happen. Bill? Yes. Yes.
But we are a combination of our parents and that's a good thing and bad things. And each one of my siblings and myself, we have good and bad things. And unfortunately, my parents died, so we can go back and really take care of some things that we shouldn't take care of over our lives. But I've tried to do now. I tried to recall from my brothers and sisters the good things that I saw my mom and my dad.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. Sure. Yes. Yeah. Sure. And I think there's something else that you can do that would really honor them. And that is, if your dad's still alive, go to him and ask him to give you the blessing. You know, they did that in the Old Testament all the time. And the oldest patriarch would bless those in his household. And that is such a joy to a father's heart to pray a blessing over his children. And so, but you should, if they might not think of that, so you go to them and ask them to bless you. Glenn and Brian and I were at a conference where they were actually teaching that a couple of years back, and it's a powerful thing.
Because when Doug Small came.
Yeah, Doug Small was the one that did that.
And did he even talk about it here, maybe?
I don't know. If he did that Sunday night with communion, he might have.
Yeah, because I know he said to you that if he had asked, he would go to his dad and say, and to be asked to go for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And he really
honored it. Yes. It's a great honor to be able to do that, so. Your dad's still alive? Anyone else? Sure. Right. Yes. That's true. Yes. Very good. Yes. Very good. Glenn, do you have your hand up?
Along the line of what you just said about, I got somebody that asked me about blessing. Mm-hmm. And
it is an honor. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, it's 8:00, so let's we'll pray and we can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this important command, Lord, as we find the promise that attaches itself to it. Also, now, Lord, we see that there is a curse if we fail to keep this command. I pray, Lord, that you would, as you give us grace and as you give us the ability, that we would be able to honor those in authority over us, that we would be able to honor each other, that we would hold all men in a place of honor, realizing, Lord, that they are created in your image. And Lord, I pray for tonight for those that have parents that are still living. I pray, Lord, especially for those who have parents that are not Christians. Lord, that you would help them to be able to honor these parents and live a life in such a way that their parents would begin to desire the things of you, the things of the Lord. Lord, that there would not be a parent of any of us that are here tonight that would find themselves at the end of their life and going into eternity without knowing you as their personal Savior. Lord, we just ask that you would do this. We thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you're dismissed. We have to be very careful of the example that we set and the things that we allow into our lives, because our children will take that to an even greater extreme. Now, we're given a striking account of four types of wicked generations in Proverbs 30. Each generation gets progressively worse. The last one is described as a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now, this is a picture of a brutal and ruthless disrespect for people and life. That was the fourth generation. However, the first generation in this sequence begins with one that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Okay? So every generation got worse, but it just began with one cursing father and not blessing the mother. We see this happening in the world today. Every generation seems to be getting a little more wicked, a little more vile. And it's surprising the depths of depravity and sin that is out there today. You know, when I do talk to parents, you know, and I say, you know, our children face things in the world today that we never had to face. I mean, there are things that we could not imagine happening to us and going through it, you know, when we were younger. They've got so many more temptations today, so much more difficult. And as a pastor, dealing with things, you know, I deal with things that you don't know anything about sometimes, and that's okay. But I was saying to Debbie the other day, you know, they never trained us in Bible school how to deal with some of these things. Maybe because they weren't even even thinking about it then. But evil waxed worse and worse. And so we have to realize this. Let's not let it because we are refusing to honor our parents and our authorities. Number four, how do we keep this commandment? Do what the commandment says, honor your father and mother. Since it's a high priority in our lives, I think we need to know some practical ways on how we can apply this command. Here are 10 ways that we can begin to show honor to our parents. Maybe you can come up with some more. These are just 10. Enjoy their company. You know, parents are honored when their children, when their sons and daughters delight in being around them and doing things with them. They are saddened when their children view time with them as an obligation. I haven't seen mom and dad for a while. I better go see him. I feel this obligation to do so. You know, parents know that. But if you want to spend time with them, you make their day. Second thing, be with them in public. It's an honor to parents when their family is together in public settings, such as sitting together in church. It should be a priority to join them at public events that they think, that they view are important, things that are important to them. Number three, introduce your parents enthusiastically to others. People can tell how much honor and respect we have for our parents by how enthusiastic we are when we introduce them. Number four, thank them with gifts of appreciation. In this passage, the Greek word translated as honor means to attach a value to something. I don't know if we honor the government by paying taxes because that's a necessity. But, you know, we honor God by giving tithes and offerings. We can honor our parents by giving meaningful and gifts of value. And by that, I don't mean you need to spend a lot of money. That's not the issue. That's not the case. You can give gifts. The greatest gift you can give is yourself and your time. Number five, provide facts for decisions. You know, parents are called upon to make multitudes of decisions. And sometimes they're not given all the facts. But you have to give your parents all of the facts, all the details, if they're going to make the right decision for you. We have to be open and honest with our parents. Trust that God will work through them. Number six, praise them before others. Unfortunately, some children complain about their parents to their friends. Don't do that. But instead, praise them. No matter how faulty your parents may be, there are always qualities that you can appreciate in them and that you can praise them for. Number seven, deflect praise. When people praise you for significant achievements in your life, to say, you know, if it wasn't for my mom and dad, I would not have been able to have done that. You know, they've supported me, and they've prayed for me. They've invested in my life, and I just want to thank them. Number eight, welcome their correction. When parents address real or perceived problems in our lives, we can humbly receive the correction that they want, that they need to offer, that they need to give to us. And as we recognize that God is working through our parents to shape and to mold our lives, then we can respond correctly to them and even be grateful for what they have to say to us. Number nine, care for them in old age. When parents are incapable of taking care of themselves, it's our responsibility to honor them by making sure that their needs are met. And Jesus's affirmation of this command was really a point that was being made to the Pharisees because they had been neglecting this particular responsibility. And number 10, honor their memory. When parents pass away, we should continue to speak well of them and respectfully of them. Their wise teachings, the good examples that they have set need to be passed on to their grandchildren, to your children. And so don't let their memory die. Remind them of the good things and even write down some of the things that they taught you, things that you learned from them so that you could pass them on. And so we want to look to honor. And sometimes we could just pray to God and, that he would show us some creative ways in which we could honor our parents. Number five, how do we keep this command? We honor God by honoring our parents. Did you know that? That when you honor your parents, you're really honoring God? When Jeremiah brought the elders of a large family into the temple, I offered them wine to drink. They responded with an amazing account of how they had honored the instructions of a certain forefather for more than 250 years. Something that was said 250 years before was still being lived out by this man's descendants. And they told Jeremiah, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, 'Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents.' Thus have we obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." It's from Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 6 and 10. Now, God rewarded and honored this family, the Rechabites, for honoring and keeping the commandment of this earthly father. He used them as an example before all of Judah. He used them and he said, "Look at this family's obedience. You know, you should have been as obedient to me as this family was obedient to their father." And so he used them as an example. He praised them. In Jeremiah chapter 35 and verse 14, it says, "The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed, for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, but ye hearkened not unto me." The how we honor our earthly fathers is a reflection of how we want to honor our heavenly father, who we honor God. The correlation between earthly fathers and honoring our heavenly father is seen in Scripture. For example, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts." Now, God says, because you have obeyed and honored your father, I will make sure that there is always somebody from your house who will serve me. I will bless you this way. You'll always have children that will be true to me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want or lack a man to stand before me forever. Jeremiah 35:19. So we are wise. This father was wise in giving this command. Now, they didn't have to follow this because there was nothing wrong with building houses, planting vineyards. There was nothing contrary to the law if they would have done these things, but they chose to honor his request. Now, can you imagine the pressure that they would have been under to go ahead? And even here, they're brought into Jeremiah the prophet, and he is trying to get them in a way to back down. But they would not cave in to any of the pressure. And so God honored them because of that. And you know how God honored them? When all the other tribes were carried away captive, this family was not, because they did not have any house. They didn't own any property. They just traveled and dwelt in tents. So when everybody else was carried away, they still remained free. Now, many people today think that they have good reason to reject the instruction of their parents. To me, this is a great example, stands as a lasting reminder to us of why we need to honor our parents. You know, sometimes as a parent, you tell your children something and you just can't quite put a finger on why they shouldn't do something. And you just can't give them a good reason, but you just sense it. And children, you have to be open to that. Sometimes God will just give a caution to an authority, to your mom or dad. And they can't give you a reason right now. But listen to that caution. You know, I doubt if the Rechabites really knew why they were following that command. I don't know if the father really knew why he was telling them to do that. He could have just sensed in his spirit that this is what God wanted for his family. Number six, how can we keep this command? Know the basis of honor. Know the basis of honor. King David's call for Mephibosheth to come before him struck fear in Mephibosheth's heart because he was related to Saul, who had tried to kill David. But David did the unexpected toward him. He took this crippled boy into his palace, and he treated him as he treated his other sons. He got to sit at the king's banquet table. He was treated like royalty. Now, David didn't do this because of Mephibosheth. He did it because of who Mephibosheth represented. He was Jonathan's son. Jonathan was David's best friend. They were kindred spirits. David loved Jonathan like he loved his own soul. And so he honored his son. We honor a person based on our perception of his importance or the importance of those that they represent. So Mephibosheth represented Jonathan to David, and so he brought him to this place of honor. Another Greek word for honor means to prize, to fix a valuation upon, by implication to revere, reverence. Reverence for others grows out of a proper fear of the Lord and a proper understanding of the importance of that person to God. See, I need to reverence you and respect you because, if no other reason, you are special to God. You are valuable to God. And if we could just begin to look at each other in that way and treat everyone as somebody who is special to God, then we would be understanding the basis of honor. I think that's why Jesus said, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You treat other people like you would treat Christ himself. And that then becomes the basis of honor. See, we're not supposed to honor only our parents. We're not to honor only those who are in authority over us. We are to honor everyone. Now, there are some people that are worthy of double honor. And the Bible tells us that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. So realize that every Christian is a representation of God because they have been created in his image and God has placed them in our lives for our benefit. And so God instructs us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, we have to guard ourselves against personal greed and pride because that would destroy our ability to honor and reverence other people. And to honor God, to dishonor God by dishonoring the people that represent him. In other words, there's a story in Mark chapter 12, this guy, this owner of this wealthy master who owns this vineyard, and he sends a servant. Remember the story? They mistreat the servant. He sends another servant. They mistreat